much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Nowadays, people forget why fruitcake is a holiday tradition. But you see, what they don't understand is...
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
But what about the children?
What it do, baby boo?
Hey, guys. I think we need to hear the ultimate threesome with Allie, Beer Mug, and the turtle. Hit it, Steve.
Smell it.
Hey, a good doctor.
And now.
You are the dregs of a free society. We have to let you exist, but we do not have to listen to you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 28th of November.
Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
Would you say it's the return of the Mac?
Right?
Oh, wow.
Feel good?
It feels something.
It was a punch in the gut, wasn't it?
So early. Yeah. First the turtle, and then that. But right. I respect it.
It was a compliment and a tribute.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what
Bean says every time he's making fun of me, too.
Not everybody gets a theme song on their return to the show after vacation. But we missed you.
Nice. Well, thank you, Bean. I'm shocked to see... What was your...
Kevin. Yeah.
Shocked to see Kevin, because I woke up this morning, just scanned Instagram... You were at a big-time party last night.
Yeah, I went to Steve Aoki's birthday party, which was really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, really incredibly weird.
Weirder that you're here right now. A little bit?
Why was it weird?
Well, I don't want to take up your time for the thing.
No, it's just fine.
Okay. It was weird because I didn't know a lot of people there, but then I started running into a few different people. But the gathering of strange celebrities.
Yeah.
He has a lot of friends of different stripes.
Yeah. So it was a charity fundraiser as well.
Oh, wow.
For the Aoki Fund. And T-Pain performed.
Sure.
Right? Because.
With or without the auto-tune?
Without.
Okay.
And sounded amazing.
Yeah, he can actually sing. Hey.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Huh.
I always assume people who use that much auto-tune do it because they can't really...
He has made records without auto-tune, and he has a really good voice.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Blink 182 came out, and they played Blink.
Oh.
Yeah.
At a birthday
After
party.
After T-Pain.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And stripped down, too. I've never seen him like that. It was just two acoustic guitars and a snare drum. That was it.
Yeah.
How great was
that?
And I talked to the guys afterwards. I was like, have you ever done anything that stripped down? And they said, no. We just...
Really?
Wow.
It's really bizarre. And... I was standing next to Jackie Jackson.
Who?
Michael Jackson's brother.
Yeah, he's for real.
Jackie Jackson.
I don't even know that one.
I don't either.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He's one of the Jackson 5. He's one of the OG brothers, yeah.
Really? Jackie? Yeah.
Jackie.
Yeah. You never hear about Jackie. Maybe that's good, right?
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't really do well with him.
Oh no.
What do you mean? I wouldn't recognize him. I know that.
I didn't, and I was introduced to him.
Okay.
And I happened to be standing next to him while Blink was playing.
Yeah.
And somebody said, hey, Kevin, this is Jackie Jackson. He was in the Jackson 5.
That's enough. Okay.
And I'm going to give you guys a guess as I don't know why I had to say something.
Oh, no.
But I did.
Okay.
And it wasn't good.
Did you want us to guess what it is?
Yes.
What the topic was? Well,
no,
I hope
not the topic. What did I say to him?
I hope you said ABC, easy as 1, 2, 3.
Oh, nothing that witty.
Okay.
No.
Witty? Oh, no.
Are you kidding? No.
Okay.
My fear is that you meet Jackie Jackson and the first thing in your mind is Michael Jackson and you bring that sadness up. My fear is that you said, oh, sorry to hear about your brother or something like that.
Oh, no.
Because that would be a party downer.
I really liked Michael.
No, you didn't.
Oh, no. Kevin, why would you say that?
Kevin, God damn it.
And then I thought,
why
that,
would you say that?
It was a surprise. It was in the moment. There was all kinds of weird stuff going on. And
that's beer mug-esque.
Yes.
I don't even think mugs would.
Immediately after I said it, Bean's words came into my head. Why on earth would you say that?
Oh.
I really liked your brother.
That's amazing. What was his response?
Thanks. Just, you know.
Yeah, cool.
Just whatever. And then
what made you think that it was cool to say that?
I didn't really think through it. I didn't have time. It was a surprise. And I said, I really like your brother, Michael.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So.
What to make of Kev Dog Eat Dog?
Kev Dog.
Way to make him sad and also feel insignificant and unimportant at the same time.
Right. All of that. All of that. Yeah.
Twofer.
In just a few words.
And about within, I would say, 60 seconds, he moved away from me.
It took that long.
Who else was there in this disparate group of celebrities?
Who else?
Anyone
was
else
there?
You recognize?
Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin. Wow.
And it looked like he was wearing what's that onesie that you got for? That was all the rage a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago. A blanket,
A slanket?
Snuggie.
Oh, a snuggie. Really?
I don't know if it was a snuggie or not. I took a picture, but I'll have to show you. It was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
Was it fleece? Were you close enough to get material?
I didn't touch it.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out, was he trying to stay warm or was that Moo-Moo-esque?
It was Moo-Moo-esque. It was him dressing. That's just him being him, I think.
Being casual and comfortable is his whole thing.
But even just being in a room with Rick Rubin is super weird.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Did he have shoes on?
I didn't look at his feet, Bean.
Because covered by a Snuggie.
Right, exactly. What a bizarre night.
What a bizarre night. I really liked your brother Michael.
So good.
I mean, no, it's not. It's terrible.
It's so good.
Why? First of all, let me just ask this question. Why, when you're standing next to a celebrity, and I'm not sure everybody is wired this way, but do you feel the need to say something?
Anything, really.
Right?
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Yeah.
Just don't open your mouth, especially me.
You would benefit from thinking that before it happens, sure.
I didn't.
More thinking, less saying.
Correct. Yeah. Yes,
that would be where you should go.
Yeah, that's truth in life for me. But
did you talk to the birthday boy?
I did. Yeah, he's very cool.
How's he?
Very cool. He's very cool. His mom was there. Everybody was there. It was kind of a bizarre night, but very cool. And his Aoki fund is great, and donated to that. And it was a good time.
All right, one more question, and that is: was there cake?
There was. Not by the time I left.
Oh.
I was going to say no.
Okay. He wasn't like chucking
it at people.
He wasn't
caking people, no.
Okay, good.
No, no.
Cake was just for eating.
Just running around throwing him? No. That didn't happen, no. But it was a really amazing night. He's a really good dude.
Excellent.
He is a good dude. Well, that sounds like fun.
Sorry, Jackie. I apologize for that.
A Monday night party, though. That's how you know you're baller. That
right?
People will show up on a Monday night and be like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Well.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
He has Asperger's. What's your excuse?
Right? We're going to talk to Noodles on the program today.
Oh, my God. I miss so much.
From The Offspring.
I miss Chip's new band. So much.
He was instrumental in forming William Hung Hart. And what a bizarre story that is.
Oh, to get that text on vacation, I'm like, is that William Hart on stage with
William
you, Chip?
Hunt?
William, oh, yeah. No, see, his name has changed now in my head.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right?
And the look on Chip's face, Chip has never been more happy in her life.
No.
Well, Chip broke it down for us. She broke down William Hung performing with her band Well Hung Heart yesterday on the show. But then we thought there's so much behind-the-scenes stuff that she doesn't even know about how the thing was put together and how William Hung was talked into it. So apparently Offspring was the source of the idea. And so he's gonna fill in the blanks for us today.
Noodles, I think, heard Ralph call William Hung Heart. Just as a throwaway.
Right.
And so that's when it planted the idea
typical
in his head.
Typical Noodles, like driving his kid to school, like, I'm doing that.
I need to make that happen. So that's coming up this morning.
Good.
We also have, I don't know if you know the guys that stand out on the corner and spin signs?
Mm-hmm.
We may have the best one. We're going to introduce you to maybe the best sign spinner.
Oh.
He might be.
Might be the best one.
He's willing to accept that compliment.
Right. Alex Jones is crazy again.
What?
Or still?
Did he cease?
Should I say bit? Still? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have Tim Minchin in the studio today.
Oh, I love Tim so much.
Great.
And he's bringing a keyboard.
But how about that? Giveaway?
No, he's going to play it. Oh. He's, you know, he's a musician. He sings sometimes. Okay, well. Yeah. And we have your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. We're going to give you those tickets in the 6 o'clock hour this morning. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
By the way, once again, we'll have more tickets for you to win twice on today's Kevin and Bean Show to join us for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. Fast approaching, a couple of weekends away at the Forum, so stand by for your chance to win. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
Well, President Trump is now telling people he doesn't believe that infamous Access Hollywood tape of him is real.
Wait, what?
That's what happened.
So you're saying somebody dummied that to make it sound like it?
Yes, Kevin.
What?
Exactly.
He has already
fake
categorized fake it as
news.
Locker room talk.
Fake
though.
News.
But he already apologized for it.
Fake.
And acknowledged it.
Fake news.
Is Billy Bush?
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Billy Bush real?
No, that's the thing, too.
Not even a
he's
person.
He's a Muppet.
Yeah,
he said it was, he believed it was doctored. So the folks over at Access Hollywood last night had to address the issue, and the host, Natalie Morales, said, we wanted to clear something up that has been reported across the media landscape. Let us make this perfectly clear. The tape is very real. Remember, his excuse at the time was locker room talk, but he said every one of those words, so they are standing by that tape.
What a weird time to go back and claim that didn't happen.
Look, it's getting nuttier and nuttier.
But every day it gets worse.
He was talking to the Navajo Code talkers yesterday.
In front of a portrait of Andrew Jackson, the man who killed more Indians than anyone.
And said, you guys said everything. I don't really need to say any remarks. Except, you know, we say we have got an Indian in the Senate, so she claims, I call her Pocahontas, talking about Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's getting even nutty for him.
Look.
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 Let me say this.
Look!
And I know that there are people, and Kevin, you're one of them, who just roll your eyes and hit the button whenever politics comes up.
Yep.
I'm not trying to be partisan here, but I'm asking a serious question as a concerned American. Is mental illness a possibility here? If you come out and apologize for a thing that is said on tape, and then a year later say, it wasn't me, is that a sign of some sort of mental incapacity?
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Right? He's really smart.
I'm asking a serious question here.
I don't know.
Well, let's ask it of his followers, who then will hear this and go, probably fake. He says it's fake. Those are the people I'm concerned about.
Yeah. I mean,
look, we knew at best he was a severe narcissist, mm-hmm. which already is a mental issue.
Mm-hmm. Right, but this
so
is
So who a... could be surprised that he's
But I think you can manage and get your head around narcissism. You could write that off as just a personality trait more than actual mental illness and a break with reality, which is what it seems like is happening with this most recent story you've done.
Or he can say whatever he wants because no one ever checks him. No one ever stops him. There's no price to pay.
I think there's no price to pay because he follows it up with another bombshell that's ridiculous in 6 hours. No. And so everybody's like, wait, let's go back to...
His followers will back him. And then he has mm-hmm. people around him who will go in front of reporters and say, that wasn't a racial slur. No.
Yeah.
No, it was fine for him to say Pocahontas regarding a woman who claims Native American heritage. That's fine. That's okay to say.
And that network that those people watch isn't reporting any of this.
Mm.
So they have no idea.
I don't like it.
That's spectacular even for him.
Yeah.
Speaking of Billy Bush, he was hit by a golf ball this week. Had to be checked out at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. We found out via Twitter we had pictures of him lying in the hospital bed. Here was his tweet. I think I dodged a bullet, but sadly not a golf ball. He said, his goddamn tweets sound like the Access Hollywood show.
Wow. And here I was feeling bad. He's unemployable.
Oh.
I realize he deserves it.
My Lord.
Wow. Read it again.
I think I dodged a bullet, but sadly not a golf ball.
And then you know he went, nailed it.
Ugh, he's the worst. And... Lastly, Beans people in the news. Guys should have a new segment called Beans People in the News. His name is Zach Baggins. He's from the show Ghost Adventures. And apparently he has a haunted museum in Las Vegas. All right, we got Bean's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he recently purchased from Corcoran State Prison a collection of Charles Manson's personal belongings. His pentagram necklace? Well, that's the one you want, right?
Sure.
You're going to get yourself a Charlie Manson item. Other homemade goodies that the guy used to wear as his own personal jewelry, and of course his dentures.
Ooh.
And they will all be on display at the Haunted Museum in Las Vegas because this guy purchased his belongings.
I heard that Charles Manson left his belongings to a pen pal, somebody that he had been writing to over the course of the past couple of decades. Is that not the case?
Well, maybe the pen pals sold it. Ralph, can you...
How would I know the case of Charlie Manson?
What's his name? What's the guy's name that sold it?
Bilbo Baggins.
The guy who bought it is Zach Baggins, B-A-G-A-N-S.
Bilbo's brother. Baggins.
Okay. And it says here he's from the show Ghost Adventures.
Oh, all right. Crazy.
Is that I've never heard of the show Ghost Adventures.
No,
nor have I.
I haven't either.
Allie shaking her head, yes.
Well, sure. She knows.
Why don't you say something out loud? This is radio.
Because it's better on radio just to nod like a bobblehead in the corner.
I don't want anyone to know that I knew.
Okay. Well, then don't nod where Chip can look at your head going up and down.
How dare you?
That's an indicator
right?
of acknowledgement when the head's bobbing.
What?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Judd Nelson, one of the Brat Pack back in the day. 58 years old today. TV show host and legend. Jon Stewart is 55. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, we love her. She's 33 years old. Neon Tree singer Tyler Glenn is 34. And Karen Gillan from Doctor Who, of course. Then she went on to be in the Guardians of the Galaxy films. And she's in the upcoming Jumanji.
She's lovely.
They can't all be home runs, people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to give you an opportunity to win some tickets for night number two of the Sold Out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 in about 5 minutes from right now. About 5 minutes from now, particularly if you are a Weezer fan, stand by. We'll tell you when to call and how to win. I don't know whether you guys are going to be as fascinated by this news report as I was. This guy, who is a sign spinner in the Phoenix area, is either a great guy making a lot of people happy and living his best life, or he's a delusional fool who thinks he's more entertaining than he is.
Mm.
And I can't tell which is which, but let's delve into this surprisingly deep profile of a sign spinner.
At New Tonight at 6, they say if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
By the way, that is not true.
That's
I'm here
just
to tell
stupid.
You. As a guy who does what he loves... exhausted.
Very true. Our Olivia Fierro noticed someone who kind of embodied that saying, and it's making him a pretty big star at one Scottsdale intersection.
Okay, is he, even if he's an outstanding sign spinner,
let's say he's the best ever.
Right. Is he a pretty big star if he's working for $6 an hour twirling a sign at a stoplight?
Well, I think they're saying he's a big star on that corner of that intersection.
I see. So... of people that are standing
yes.
at that intersection,
huge.
He's the most famous.
He's okay. the biggest.
All right.
Okay. Here's one reason why I think this guy may not be for me.
What's up, fellas? You guys have a good day, all right? Woo!
What is your reaction when you drive by a sign spinner? Do you admire him? Are you annoyed by him?
I'm not annoyed.
Do you have any thoughts at all about him?
I do like the ones that seem to be dancing and yeah. putting a lot into it.
I want to know what they're listening to.
Right.
And
okay.
I want to know, like, how tired are they at the end of the day?
Okay.
What do they eat? Do they carb it up? What happens?
I was out at what they're listening to.
Okay.
That's all I care about.
Well, this news report is for you then, Allie.
Here he is, the hardest working man in advertising reporting for duty.
Have a good day!
But it's not really work when you love your gig this much.
I do have a performer's personality, I guess you could say. I just like attention.
Okay, if you have a performer's personality, why don't you perform then? And not
he
skin
is
signs.
Bean,
but
he's
he though,
performing.
I'm saying isn't no offense to our sign spinner listeners. Isn't that the lowest rung on the showbiz ladder?
I mean, it's one step above radio, though.
Right, that is true. That
I think it's safe to say Donald Blackketter found his calling when he answered an ad for a sign spinner for U.S. Egg 6 years ago. No experience required.
I couldn't do anything when I first started. You know, I'd never touched a sign in my life. And it just slowly built up from there, and it is what it is today now, I guess, for me.
It's like we're talking to a guy who's just won Olympic gold medal, and he's telling you the story of those long hours in the gym.
You know, before I got that sign job, I never touched a sign.
Yeah. Right. It was just natural.
It just came to me. Yeah. I don't know. I was born with it.
They could have been having the worst day ever. Car could have broke down. The kids would be in a pain in the neck.
Have a good day, bro.
And then they get to that light just down there at Shea and Scottsdale. And I see their frowns go from frowns to straight face to, hey, that guy's pretty cool. And then you start seeing their heads bob with me as I'm jamming up and down, you know, doing my thing. And
okay.
He's changing lives.
Is he changing lives? Yes. Or does he have an inflated view of how much of a difference he's making in this community?
Why do you hate Joy?
I'm trying to figure out how to feel about this guy.
Who hurt you?
It's not that. It's just that he really does believe he's making the world a better place when in reality he's standing on a street corner spinning a sign.
He could be cheering people up.
Yeah.
Really?
He's watching their frown turn to a straight face to joy.
That's science.
And that's an expression, right?
Right.
So we know Donald's moves entertain, but do they really drive in customers?
Okay. Now, this is an interesting point to me because I have often wondered there's about 2 months of every year where you see somebody dressed up as the goddamn Statue of Liberty trying to get you to come in and get your taxes done, right? Mm-hmm. In a million years, is that how you would pick your tax preparer?
No, but if you didn't have one, maybe you would remember, oh, wait, that Statue of Liberty on La Brea and Wilshire. Got to go there. Maybe.
This guy works for a company called U.S. Egg. It's a breakfast and lunch restaurant. Would you go to that restaurant because you became aware of it because of this guy's sign? In a million years, would that ever turn you into a customer?
I doubt it. But if it's a place in the area where I live that I wasn't familiar with, maybe.
Then, I mean, look, advertising works. There's no question about that. So the question the reporter asked is, does it drive business?
The owner of U.S. Egg says absolutely.
People call all the time, at least 3 to 5 times a week, saying, hey.
Do people call him 3 to 5 times a week?
Nope.
About his sign spinner.
He's received 5 calls total.
Total. Why is that guy
sign
still
spinner,
out there?
He just made my day. He's so happy out here. He looks at me. He smiles at me. We have this connection.
Come on. Who has the time to call a restaurant to tell them about the emotional bond that has been formed at an intersection with
you
a
know
sign
what?
Spinner?
I really connect with that guy. Thank you for having him out on the corner.
But how delightful that someone would take the time.
Right,
to
if they
make
did.
That call.
If it had ever happened one time
Here's
in the history
the thing.
Of the world.
If a reporter is asking the owner of a company, you ever get calls? You think that owner's going to be like, nope, no one cares. Wasting my money on that egg.
You know what the answer wasn't is whether they get business out of it, which was what the question was the reporter asked, is does it translate into customers coming in? And he never said that it did, by the way.
All about
he
the
just
dollar.
Said the people
right,
had called
about
him.
Money.
All about the
all
dollar,
about money
D.B.
for you.
All right. We're not even going to have time for the rest of this
what?
Report, by the
Keep
way.
Going.
I'm looking at that. We
Play
may have
it.
To come
Go.
Back for part two. I'm just telling you, you haven't heard his five tips to be an outstanding sign spinner we haven't even gotten to yet.
Come on,
baby, light my fire.
He enjoys making people smile. And that's what makes him smile and work harder and dance harder and have fun out there.
Are you curious at this point if there's any other news going on in Phoenix? Doesn't it seem like they are spending an inordinate amount of time on this guy who spins signs?
Bean, there's never news, really. It's all crap.
Yeah, Kevin.
For Donald, the secret to success is always sticking to his 5 rules of sign spinning.
Yes. Are you guys surprised that there are 5 rules of sign spinning?
I'm curious.
If by surprise, curious, right?
Yes. Right?
Rule number one, you keep the sign approximately chest level. Anybody from a Dodge Viper to a semi-truck can see what it says.
Okay.
Rule number two, smile and wave occasionally so they know you're alive.
Waves, and he's the happiest guy in the world.
Rule number three, keep your cell phone out of your hands at all times when you're on the corner with the sign. Rule number four, if you have music, bring it.
Out of work and down.
Your job is only as fun as you make it.
Hey, my buddy!
And rule number five, always make sure the arrow is pointed in the direction of the business.
That's pretty good advice. Arrow pointed in the direction of the business.
I'm going to tell you something right now, and it might shatter your illusions here, but that guy's miserable.
Oh, you think so?
He hates his job so
Six
much.
6 years he's been doing it, though.
Right.
Now, I'm going to ask you again as we prepare to say goodbye to our favorite sign spinner.
I'm going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like, mother f***ing super.
That's the only sign holder we know.
There's our side spinner, right. My question, as I asked at the beginning, now that you've heard a little bit of the tape, and by the way, there's still plenty more we don't have time for, and that is, do you think he's a good guy making people happy, or is he a jackass who's high on his own supply?
Why not both, Bean?
I think I would say 80-20 in favor of actually making people happy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's found a job he likes that he thinks makes other people happy, so more power to him.
I would guess so, yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Hey, if you love Weezer like we do, you'll want to be there on December the 10th at the Forum, the sold-out night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. They are on the bill along with a lot of other great acts. But this time around, we're looking for Weezer fans. You know them. You love their music. We want to hear from you. We'll give you a chance to play a game to win your way in. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. We'll play the game next. All right. Very excited about this. Got more tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. This time, night number 2. That's the night with Morrissey and the Killers and the Lumineers and Phoenix and Franz Ferdinand and so much more. Weezer also on the bill. And we got some Weezer fans on the line. Let me just throw this in for the winner who's about to be crowned here. We are also going to give you a brand new JBL Boombox. This is a wireless Bluetooth streaming device. It runs for 24 hours on a charge, by the way, Kevin.
All right.
That's a party right there. 24 hours without recharging. Anyway, it's a monstrous sound along with the hardest hitting bass, and that is on top of the tickets. Let's meet our Weezer contestants, and the game is called Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Who's up first today?
First is Steven from Los Angeles. Hi, Steven.
Good morning.
You ready to play, sir?
All right.
We're doing this a little bit different than we have before in that we're having two contestants go against each other. Our second contestant is Jose in Los Angeles. Hi, Jose.
Hello, good morning.
What do you think about Steven? He sounds like a little bit of a dick, right?
I agree, yeah, definitely.
Okay, all right. I'm just trying to get some smack talking going between the two. So all right, so this is the first time we've...
Haiti on Denim Dad?
This is the first time we've tried it this way, so the way it's going to work is just a second, as you've heard in the past on the Kevin Bean Show, is we're going to be playing the first second of, in this case, a Weezer song, except each one of you is going to be on the clock and get the opportunity to answer. So, for instance, we're going to play one, and it's going to be Steven. We're going to ask you what the song is. If you get it right, you get a point. Then we'll move on to Jose. Play one for you. If you get that right, you get a point. We've got 10 all together, so it's going to be really the best out of 5, since you, each of you get 5 songs to go. All right, you ready to give this a try?
All right.
Are you?
I'm not positive we're ready to give this a try.
I feel like I was close. I feel like I was doing pretty well right till the end there.
You going to take that as a win?
I am. Yes, I am. All right, so Steven is up first. Kevin, you're going to be handling the controls. You're going to give him a Weezer 1 second. He tells us if he knows the song title. Do I have it right this time?
Yes. Steven, okay. We're going to play it twice, and after the second time, you'll have 10 seconds, okay?
Okay.
All right, here you go. One more time.
Oh, man, I know that song. I don't know the name.
All right, it's not yours, though, Jose. It's Steven's.
No, that's his Steven.
What's the answer, Steven?
I don't know the song. I know the song.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was If You're Wondering If I Want You To, I Want You To. All right, so no points for Steven. Now we move on to Jose.
Hi, Jose. All right. That should be Steven's autobiography. No points for Steven.
By the way, you know what else is tough about this game is we have two dudes on the phone, and I don't know their voices. If one of them talks, the other one,
well,
I don't know who is who.
Just
you know?
So you know, Bean, I only have one of them up at a time.
So don't berate Steven this time.
Right.
Steven, so it's all Jose.
Steven can't talk right now. Now it's Jose. All right. Jose, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. Here you go. One more time.
That's Say It
In
So.
It is. Nicely done.
All right. So Jose has 1. Steven, as I predicted, is a dick and has 0. But we're going to give him another opportunity here as we play Just a Second for Weezer tickets.
Hey, Steven.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. One more time.
Hash pipe.
That's correct. Nicely done.
All right. Steven is on the board. Let's go back to Jose now.
Jose, hi.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yes.
One more time.
Beverly Hills.
Wow. Nicely done. All right. Back to Steven.
Okay.
Hey, Steven.
Hey.
Here you go. What's with this hump? One more time.
It ain't so. What's with this hump? What's with
this hump? Say It Ain't So?
Is that what he said?
Oh.
Yeah, that's what he
Boo,
said.
Boo, Steven, I was right about you. Okay.
Jose.
I'm back.
You're back. Here you
Ali,
go.
Ali, what's the score right now? Do you know?
The score would be 2-1. Jose in the lead.
All right, Jose, you can break it wide open here.
All right, here you go. One more time.
Island in the Sun.
Island in the Sun is correct.
Nicely done.
All right, now, I'm no good at math, but if Jose already has three, is there any possibility Stephen comes back from this?
Is there any possibility Stephen comes back from this? Is there any possibility? Okay, we have four left. Is there any? Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I think there
okay,
is.
Okay, all right,
I just want to make sure.
I mean, he's not going to, but
he can. Mathematically, yes.
He has the opportunity to.
All right. And in other words, the Dolphins can still make the playoffs.
Right.
That's what we're talking
exactly.
about here. It's not going to happen, but on paper it could. All right. Let's go back to Steven.
Steven, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. One more time.
That one sounds like Say It Ain't So.
It sure does. That's an Island in the Sun is what we were looking
nope,
for.
That's
that
Undone,
time.
The Sweater
that's
Song.
That's Undone, the Sweater Song is what we were looking for that time.
Oh, God.
All right, how about now?
Now I believe it's Jose for the win, right?
I believe it's Jose for the win
but
as well.
But wait, did he already win, or do we have to do one more?
I think he's already won. I think there's no way at this point
he's
that Steven comes
three.
Back.
He has
he's
three.
Got three.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
All right, we got to work on this game, guys. This
I like
the first
it.
Time
I like
tried
it so far. I think it's
you're
on,
happy
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, very happy with it.
Jose,
yes.
I had all the confidence in the world in you, and I guess it paid off. You got the JBL boombox there, plus tickets for night number two of the sold out K-Rock Almost Kids Christmas 2017. Be sure to come up and say hi if we see you there. Thanks a lot for playing Just a Second on K-Rock.
I'm positive what sounds he was just making, but congratulations.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53. How do you guys feel the new format went with that game? Do you think it went well?
Well,
yeah.
You guys are nothing if not consistent.
Thank you, Ralph.
It was
a little rough, but it always is when you try something new.
Right?
So we'll work out the bugs.
Sure.
I hope.
Like we do.
Hey, comedian, actor, musician, Broadway legend Tim Minchin joins us on the show in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Love Tim. Very excited. Glad he's coming back today. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. What's new? What's going on?
Grammy nominations this morning. Grammy 2018. Complete list of nominees were announced this morning. And realizes I have no idea who most of these people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a world away from my musical taste, the current Grammy situation. I'll just burn through some of the big categories for you. Album of the Year, Awaken My Love by Childish Gambino. Good to see Donald Glover getting
so
a little
good.
Love. 444 by Jay-Z. Damn by Kendrick Lamar. Melodrama by Lord. And 24K Magic by Bruno Mars. He's got his own big TV special coming up soon. So, there you go.
Right.
Song of the Year, Despacito. Sure, naturally, right? It's the
How
best.
Could it not be?
It's one of the best songs.
Sure.
It's one of the best songs
sure.
of the year.
I mean, it's certainly the most popular song of the year.
Oh, I thought this was for good songs. I'm sorry. I thought the Grammys was a different thing. I didn't
well,
know.
Well, I think a lot of people think
I didn't
it's
know it was
a
Teen
too.
Choice
sometimes
Awards.
Sometimes it's flip-flops.
Sometimes it's the Teen Choice Awards?
Occasionally.
I didn't realize that. It's the People's Choice. 444 Issues, 1-800-273-8255.
Caller 20. Win your acoustic
what?
Christmas tickets
huh?
right
what?
Now.
No, no.
Oh,
that's one of the songs of the year.
Oh,
all right. It's nominated for Song of the Year.
Huh.
1-800-273-8255.
That's the Suicide Prevention Hotline song. Very popular song.
All right.
Big hit.
And that's what I like. Bruno Mars. Yeah. So, there you go. Let's talk about some categories that have people and things in it you might actually care about. The rock performance category. You Want It Darker, Leonard Cohen, late Leonard Cohen.
Love that song.
The Promise, Chris Cornell. Run, Foo Fighters. No Good, Kaleo. And Go to War, Nothing More. Those are your rock performance categories.
Foos.
Next. Foos all the time.
Yep.
Rock album. Emperor of Sand, Mastodon. Hardwired to Self-Destruct, Metallica. The Stories We Tell Ourselves, Nothing More. Villains, Queens of the Stone Age. A Deeper Understanding, The War on Drugs.
Queens.
Yeah. We should have the Kevin Awards.
Right?
Just
mm-hmm.
get Kevin up there and just he'll just say a name. And then we'll just move
just
on.
Read me the
In
categories.
About 17 minutes, the show will be over. Everybody goes to the after party. I like the idea.
And it doesn't matter whether you've heard the other nominations or not, Kevin. You still can rule.
Yes, of course. Okay. He's Kevin. It's the best part about being Kevin.
Right. I don't need facts.
Yeah. Springsteen's up for his spoken word album. Which is him reading his autobiography, which I think is a cheat, but still, he's nominated, so it's a name you might recognize.
What about William Hung Hart? Any for them?
Not yet, but I'm thinking their cover of All-Star will eventually be nominated. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year, right.
Different category. Okay. Speaking of the boss, Bruce Springsteen, he is loving it on stage there on Broadway. His one-man musical presentation has been extended again this time through June 30th of 2018.
Wow.
He's going to be there all of next year. All you suckers who paid $800 for your tickets this winter. I'm going to go in May for like $8. They're going to be giving them away.
It's got to be nice to not be on the road, I would think.
I think he's loving it, and he's so close to home.
Yep.
He goes home every day to his giant palatial estate and just lives the good life. So, and not to mention, the show's been grossing about $2.4 million a week.
I'm sorry?
A week?
Yes.
A week.
Yes. Total box office take so far, $19 million.
Wow.
Is what he's made on that. So that's, I think it's another good reason to stick around and do that. But when you think about it, he's got to split that money with the rest of the band. Oh, wait a minute. John Broyles! Max Weinstein! Those guys are sitting there going, why can't we have some of that money? They should have the E Street Broadway show. Bruce Springsteen included. Speaking of Springsteen, his home, his childhood home, his boyhood home's up for sale. Two-bathroom house in Freehold, New Jersey is on the market. Comes with four parking spaces. You know when they start touting the parking spaces, that the house inside is just a crap-tastic disaster. What's it like? There's great parking.
Look at the parking.
Look at that. How about the doors, windows? Yeah, but the parking. It can be yours for the low, low price of $270,000. Bruce Springsteen lived there between 6 and 19, the ages of 6 and 19. Would think it seemed to me for $270,000, you snap that up and you start yourself a Bruce Springsteen museum, don't you?
I guess.
You make that money
I've
back.
Never
in
been
a year.
Interested in that type of thing.
Buying a house the boyhood, somebody the boyhood home kind of
thing?
Yeah.
So you're living in the house and then you go, yep, this is Bruce Springsteen's. And everybody goes, sure it is.
But it is, first of all.
But no
one... I know you're going to run to a bunch of scoffers who are stopping by the museum just to show up and doubt that they live there.
I'm just saying.
But it's impressive to see this is where the dreams were dreamed.
Why don't your friends believe you?
This is where.
Who are you talking to?
The stories were written. This was where the dream was born.
Is the dream still happening in that house, and are the stories still being written in that house?
Holy crap, Kevin. You want to go to Bruce Springsteen's actual house and hang out in his bedroom?
Yes. Don't you?
Yeah.
Not his bedroom, necessarily.
You're strange
man. I'm just saying.
I'm saying you're a strange
man.
I'm
just saying.
The Christmas break can't come soon enough.
And in reality television, here's some great news. You know, they teased us with this Florabama show on MTV, the Jersey Shore of the South, they were calling it.
Yep.
Well, you don't need a pale imitation any longer. Jersey Shore's coming back to MTV with the original cast.
Snooki
and Sammy Joe and Bobby Glenn and Cliff and
Cliff in it?
Nikki.
I don't think any of those are the
Nikki
real people
the Blade
now.
And all the guys are coming back, and they're going to be having new episodes on MTV.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
Well,
but aren't they
cares,
like parents and married and what kind of shenanigans will they get into?
Come on.
Haven't they grown up?
You've been to a Walmart, haven't you? There's lots of people who are married and have kids who are still up to shenanigans. Plenty of shenanigans.
Does it say in that article, Ralph, why it's coming back?
Because the people love them. That's why. Because people watch.
I don't think that is necessary, really.
Of course it's not necessary, but people are watching.
Well, we'll see.
Well, look, I don't think they were going to bring them back because people aren't interested in watching them. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Karen Gillan, lovely and talented, very Scottish. She is 30 years old today. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who was so good recently on Fargo this year. Boy, that was a good show. 33. Jon Stewart, legendary host of The Daily Show, 55 years old today. Judd Nelson, actor from The Brat Pack. Remember him from Breakfast Club. Smoke up, Johnny! You don't know, man. 58 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in a few minutes on the Kevin Amin Show, we're going to be opening up the phones and looking for, if you're one of Kevin's people, and by that I mean as a kid, you went into a department store and destroyed a bunch of stuff.
How?
I'm just assuming. I don't know that you did that. I'm just assuming at some point you broke something at a store. There's a story in the news that has people freaking out about how much damage a kid did in a store the other day over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And we're going to be looking for your stories of you destroying stuff while shopping And by the way, I guess, I mean, we'll talk about this in a minute, but I guess, you know, in some stores, you got to pay for it if you break the stuff in the store. Some stores, they just usher you out the door, right?
Oh, I thought all stores you had to pay for it.
There can be real consequences for that. But anyway, we'll get into that in just a few minutes. Right. Not that you would know, Kevin.
Right.
Not
I
you would know anything
that.
About
right.
that.
Of course not.
First, though, our friend Alex Jones from Infowars.com is back in the news.
Not a big fan of you calling him our friend.
No, he's not totally even a little
our friend. People nope. who listen occasionally might believe it. He's straight crazy.
We are, let's let the listeners decide when they hear this all piece right. of tape that we're going to play. He is interviewing, he runs Infowars.com out of Austin, Texas. He has a very powerful internet presence, and he's also on a bunch of radio stations across the country.
There's no conspiracy theory that he does not embrace.
Yes, he's very much into conspiracy theories. And this time he's got a guest on named Tony Schaefer, who's a former Army colonel, and they are breaking down the background of Stephen Paddock, who was the Las Vegas mass shooter. Not a funny incident at all, and in fact, they're trying to decide what the motives were because, you know, he never left a note. Law enforcement still doesn't know why he decided to shoot up all those people.
Right.
But, however, Alex Jones realizes there is one clue that is revealed about him that maybe lets us know some of why he went to shoot all those people. Listen up.
This guy was very meticulous. This guy was hyper meticulous. He worked for the IRS, which is a clue. He was an accountant. He's done all these different
things. He drank Pepsi.
Right. And so
again, liberals, literally conservatives do not drink, especially in the Obama era. Conservatives drink Coca-Cola. If you drink soft drinks, liberals drink Pepsi. And that's a big clue.
Now,
so he was liberal. Clearly, he's probably doing Obama's bidding with all this shooting. I imagine is where Alex Jones is going for this because he drank Pepsi, you guys. And clearly liberals drink Pepsi. Conservatives drink Coca-Cola. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I've never heard that before in my life, and it's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, don't tell me. Tell Alex Jones from Infowars.com, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Alex.
Yeah, it's very simple to say it's stupid. It's just to disregard the truth as it's staring you in the face. That's the only way that you and the corporate industrial oligarchs can still hold on to your troops.
All right, let me ask you a question. Why does it matter if the shooter was a liberal or a conservative?
Why does it matter? Because we're under attack. We are being attacked from every possible quarter by these leftists, by the liberals, by the liberal-minded media, as well as actual physical attacks from people on everyday citizens in America. And if you don't know where the attack is coming from, it's very hard to defend yourself. Just look at Pepsi. Pepsi is the same company that, of course, was trying to flavor an earlier soda with fetus cells.
Okay. Oh, that never happened. That's not true. That was just another dumb conspiracy
theory. I heard it on a radio show that I trust completely.
Did you hear it on your show?
It doesn't matter where it came from. It's just, you know, that I trust the source implicitly.
Why do you think it is, in your view, that liberals drink Pepsi and conservatives drink Coca-Cola? I would doubt very seriously that it breaks down like that.
Well, it's easy to know. It's because Pepsi also has in it the nanite robots that go into your brainstem that create the death core. The death core is zombies who walk around living like the rest of us, thinking that we're actually in charge of our own lives, when in reality we're just doing the bidding of Pocahontas and other liberals. The only way to defeat these nanite robots that are living in our brainstem, of course, is to snort Tang. That's why every morning I get up and have a big snort, a big spoonful of Tang up my nose.
If people don't know what Tang is...
Tang is, for those who don't know what Tang is, that was the powdered drink that the astronauts drank in space to keep them from being taken over by aliens.
Okay. Oh, by aliens? Oh, I didn't realize that.
That was the alien factor.
Why else would the astronauts be drinking Tang in space?
It's tasty?
No, because it protected them from alien invaders going into their bloodstream, going into their stomach lining, going into their brainstem, and controlling their activity when they returned here to Earth. Don't get me wrong, it is very tasty. Right. But it is actually a beverage created by NASA in order to insulate and protect our men in space.
Wow. Alex, is it possible that a lot of things that you say do not have their basis in fact?
These are absolutely true, and if you're not aware of where the attack is coming from, I'll say it again, you're very apt to be leave yourself open for attack. That's why you need to know that liberals, besides drinking the Pepsi, also give themselves enemas with grape nuts.
What?
No.
How does that... I don't know. I'm sorry, scratch
because
that.
They won't carry weapons, but this way, if they ever get gas, they can bend over and use their anus like a Gatling gun.
And that has never happened, not one time,
absolutely
Alex.
Absolutely, is they have weaponized flatulence.
They
bend
that.
Over, they will shoot grape nuts out of their buttholes.
Oh, no.
And if you know anything about grape nuts, you know they can be very dangerous. It's like taking shrapnel to the face.
It does sound painful, actually.
And what about the penguins? Where are the penguins?
Right?
The great Tim Minchin joins us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. Comedian, actor, Broadway legend. By the way, he's leaving us, you guys. Tim's moving away from California.
Yeah.
Is it our fault? What do we do?
I think probably. It's your fault specifically.
I'm
you
very
don't even live here.
I'm very disappointed in that.
I'm sure you are.
But anyway, Tim's coming in. And by the way, we love Tim. He played April Foolishness for us a few years ago. We love his plays so much. He's brought his keyboard with him. He's going to be debuting, as we understand, a new song next hour for us on the Kevin Beach.
All right.
So that's a real treat and an exclusive. That's coming up on K-Rock. First, though, this past weekend was, for a lot of people, it was the start of the Christmas shopping season. A lot of, you know, a lot of stories about the malls being all packed and whatnot.
And all the fighting.
Oh, some of the fighting, man.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This post got a lot of attention on Facebook. A woman in, I'm sorry that I don't know where this happened. I've looked. I don't know. Sephora Makeup is a very popular store in the mall. Allie, they do pretty good stuff, Sephora.
Oh,
ladies love Sephora,
right?
At
the Grove. It's at Beverly Center. It's all the makeup you love in one place, so you don't have to go to individual spots.
Is it fancy or expensive makeup? Or
it's everything. It's everything from cheaper stuff to Makeup Forever stuff. It's everything you could possibly want in a store.
I
love it. I call it my happy place. Yeah.
So this lady goes into a Sephora makeup store and sees, estimates vary, I've seen anywhere from over $1,000 to $1,300 worth of Makeup Forever eyeshadow destroyed due to a small child who was in shopping with his mom. All right.
Destroyed.
It looked like, well, here's what the post says. I'm sure he or she thought that they were like finger paints and had no idea how naughty they were being. Tons of destroyed product and ticked off Sephora cast members. Not a happy place to be. So what it looks like, I mean, it does, if you're a little kid, this is exactly what it would look like, would be like finger paints. What's the description? How would you describe how this eyeshadow is laid out, Allie?
It's just basically different palettes. So little circles all up on a counter so you can just kind of rub your finger in
do
finger whatever.
Finger paint, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely to a kid, it's finger paint.
And this picture of, I mean, that entire stack of eyeshadow is destroyed, right? I mean, it's all just jumbled one right into another. Just it looks like it's just all smeared together.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster,
said an employee.
Apparently, the kid was hustled out of the store. No word on whether the mom was made to pay for this. But here's what made this post so controversial from this person who took the photo. Mamas, please shop for your makeup without your tiny humans. It's not fun for you or them or the expensive product. I about passed out when I saw this atrocity. Believe me, I've needed to bring my daughter into many makeup stores as she's been growing up, and I had a strict hands-in-the-pockets rule for her and a strict 10-minute rule for me. It's very helpful. Keep that in mind if you must take your kids makeup shopping. I suggest trying it. And a lot of people are lashing out at this woman saying, hey, that's mom-shaming. You don't know what you're talking about. Not everybody has the opportunity to leave their kids with somebody else while they go shopping. Sometimes it's just a necessity. Not all kids are like this, obviously. A lot of people stepping forward going, I take my kids in the store all the time and nothing like this ever happens. You know, this is just one bad apple. But it kind of got me thinking about the topic of, I bet there are a million stories of things that kids and expensive stuff that things that kids have destroyed in the course of shopping.
How little attention was the mom paying that the kid could do $1,300 of damage? I mean, he had to have had like a half hour.
I don't know.
I feel like this kid maybe just took their hands and just
started the whole thing
going. Yeah, stop mommy shaming, Kevin.
Kids are stupid.
That's a good point too, sir. Look, Kevin, you raised kids miraculously to adulthood.
I mean, with a lot of help, sure.
You know how you can turn your back for what seems like a minute, and you can't believe what they can get into,
right?
Yeah,
it's crazy, yes.
It's very difficult, especially if mom's in the store trying to shop also to try to keep your eye on two things at the same time. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying I understand how something like this could
happen. Maybe at around $750 of damage, she should have checked in.
Where's Jimmy? Oh, shoot.
Let's go run.
So we want to take your calls right now. If you have ever, if you destroyed something in a store when you were a kid, or if you're the parent and your kids have done it, so we'll give you two generations to choose
from.
Or
if you were the destroyer,
yeah,
we'll take those as well.
Yeah, if you were the kid and you destroyed stuff, we want to hear from you. Or if your kids destroyed stuff, so either one of those scenarios right now.
And if you destroyed stuff,
no, but I'm saying as an adult too.
Yeah,
not just kids.
Oh, adults who destroy stuff
saying,
too.
Sure.
Yeah, you've walked by a crystal display and you're like, ooh, more hip than I thought I had.
Right?
And all of a sudden, people are like, hey.
You pick up the rest of it and you drop it down an elevator shaft.
All right, so you're opening this up to adults who destroyed stuff in stores, too.
Destroyed stuff in the store, of course. Okay.
All right. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. Anyone of any age who's ever destroyed anything in a store during shopping, that's what we're looking for. We're going to take your calls right after this on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Red Hot Chili Peppers, let's take one call. Let's go to Juan in Newport Beach. Hi, Juan.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank
Juan,
you.
We're talking about you broke stuff in a store while shopping. It was an accident, but it happened. What was it?
Yeah, I was with my parents. I was about 6 or 7 years old at one of these, like, lighting chandelier kind of spots.
Yep.
And they had a few chandeliers hanging, like, at a low level so you could check them out. And they had these little spear crystal balls hanging on them. So I decided it was a good idea to jump up and smack them. And,
like you do?
I guess I smacked. Yeah, so I smacked them a little too hard, and they're all connected to the same harness. So one hit.
Oh, we just lost
them. Oh, one.
So one hit.
All down and shattered. And
cutting in and out.
Looks like we lost your phone there, but it sounds like he smashed the chandeliers, and they were how much were they valued?
$5,000 each.
Okay. All right.
$5,000.
Aww. I wonder how fast he and his parents have backed out of that store. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What'd you break in a store? We'll talk to you next. A Facebook post over the Thanksgiving holiday long shopping weekend got a lot of attention about a little kid who destroyed over $1,000 worth of makeup at a Sephora store.
So kids are stupid.
Right? Kind of got us on the topic of things you may have destroyed as a kid or as an adult in a store while shopping. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You can text us, too, if you like, by the way. Let's go to Christine, line 3, please. She's in Laguna Niguel to add to the conversation.
Some of these are great. Hey, Christine.
Hello.
Well, uh-oh.
You still sound ashamed.
Someone's in trouble.
What happened?
I was in the grocery store with my 8-year-old, and she was dancing down the aisle and danced right into a display of about 8 to 10 vodka bottles that just crashed to the floor everywhere.
Now, did you see the dancing? I'm putting in air quotes, or was she trying to drink vodka?
She probably got some type of contact high from all that vodka that was everywhere. But my first thought was to run, and then I thought they'd probably have it on video.
Right.
But, yeah.
By the way, just for the record, the answer is always run.
No. I don't think so.
I think that's what we're saying.
No.
Did they make your family pay for all that alcohol?
They did not. They were so nice about
it.
I think they were more concerned that we might have gotten cut by the glass or injured. So, and she was 8. So,
Had
it been
helped.
Me, maybe they would have made me pay for it.
Listen, this is not the first time she's going to dance for vodka. I can say that.
No.
Allie has diagnosed her from afar. Thank you for the call.
Just
appreciate
saying.
Hey, by the way, on the same topic, let's go to Thomas Lancaster, line 7. He's going to prove that you don't have to be under 10 to pull a boneheaded move like that.
Right? Hey, Thomas.
Yeah, I like to be silly and put things in our cart when we're shopping, me and my wife, that I know we're not going to buy or we don't drink.
So just to make her laugh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and so I grabbed a cardboard box full of wine coolers, and I grabbed it from the side instead of the bottom, and the weight just made them all fall out of the bottom and burst.
Oh, no. A box of wine coolers. Did you blame it on her?
Oh, no. Everybody was around. They saw the fool who did it.
Did you run?
No.
What's happening? No one runs.
They're adults.
Come on. They're adults.
The answer is run.
You did the right thing, right, Thomas. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Encino Line 2. This is going to be Patrick on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hi, Patrick.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hi.
So my sister was about 2, almost 3, and she was in the middle of potty training. And they're walking through Sears, and I guess they're in the kitchen or bathroom department with all the floor models out.
Right.
And my parents were shopping, and all of a sudden my sister runs up and says, "Mommy, Daddy, I did it, I did it." And they said, you did what? I did it. I went poop on the potty. And they said, "That's great, but where'd you do it?" So they walked her over to where she had done it, and she pointed in the toilet, and they looked, and sure enough, there it was.
That is awesome. Did they run?
So they looked around, grabbed her hand, and they ran out of the toilet.
Pooping in a display toilet, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, they shouldn't put it out.
Right?
They don't want people to use them.
Right?
Thank you, Patrick.
USA!
Let's try
USA!
Anaheim and go to Ryan Line 1 next on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. You broke, you destroyed something while shopping. Ryan, you're up.
Good morning, guys. I don't know if I can beat the poop story.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty strong.
So I was about 4, and I didn't really have a sound understanding of how electricity worked. And I was shopping with my mom. Well, she was shopping, and I was kind of just along for the ride. And I found a pin on the floor, and I decided, oh, there's an electric socket in the wall. I'll stick it in there, and we'll see what happens.
Great.
And, yeah. So long story short, the carpet around the electric socket caught on fire and caught on or caught a few of the clothing racks on fire.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, it was good times. And I kind of almost died, too. So
kind of almost died?
How much fire was there?
I don't really remember. I was only 4, and I kind of, like, passed out.
But it was in a mall?
Electric shock. Yeah, I'm pretty...
Oh, my gosh.
If I'm remembering correctly, it was the Bram Mall.
Do you remember the fire department being called and trucks coming out and firemen and everything?
I don't. I remember I had some pretty gnarly burns on my hand from the pin as well.
Oh, my gosh. Did you run? I don't know. That just seems like that's a question we're supposed to ask.
Yeah, I was... It wasn't good.
Did you marine crawl out?
I still have the scars on my hand from where I was holding the pin. That counts.
It does count.
It
yes.
does, Ryan.
I'm
it
not
does.
Sure what it counts for, but congratulations.
I mean, I guess you did the right thing.
106.7 K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. Coming up in the next hour, Tim Minchin joins us in studio, one of our favorite people on the planet.
Not only that, we got more tickets for you to join us for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, which is coming up a couple of weekends at the Forum. Sold out. Keep listening for your chance to win. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. It's Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, all everyone's talking about is the return.
The return.
The return. The reunion we've all been waiting for. Last night, MTV premiered its new show, Floribama Shore, which was, you know, being touted as the southern version of Jersey Shore. Instead of some Jersey partiers, these were people who were partying along the Florida-Alabama border. By the way, it should be terrifying to everyone that there's a border between Florida and Alabama that they share. They share a border. What happens along there?
Right.
Well, Monday's premiere, Floribama Shore, was showing us, but it was during the show that the announcement was made that set America aflame. Here it is.
We're back, bitches! It's a Jersey Shore family vacation coming in 2018. Can't wait!
Yeah, they're back, bitches. Florida Shore is giving birth back to Jersey Shore. Bitches?
Okay.
Can't effing wait!
Okay.
Here's the thing. It's the original cast, except for Sammy Sweetheart.
Oh, no.
Where's Sammy Sweetheart? That's what everyone's asking.
No one's asking that.
Everyone is asking because Sammy's on-again, off-again romance with Ronnie was a big part of the original series. Which, by the way, premiered in 2009, ran for 6 seasons on
it
MTV.
Did?
Ran to 2015. But good news is, they're back.
They're back.
Any word on Cliff being the reason she's not coming back?
Cliff, I don't know if he's responsible or not. We have to wait and see what the... Johnny Blades also says.
Will Monty return?
Monty, that is sick. We all know Monty died in that ballooning accident, and then you try to ask him if he's coming back.
I'm sorry, I missed that season altogether, I guess. Sorry.
You bastard, you're cold. Speaking of reality television, it's awful. You guys big fans of Southern Charm? Everybody watching Southern Charm?
What?
What is that?
I've never heard of that.
Southern Charm, Allie knows all about it. The Nodder knows. Ask the Nodder.
It's a show that takes place in Charleston.
Okay. It does indeed. It takes place in Charleston,
That's
South
quite
Carolina.
A recount, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's the personal and professional lives of 7 socialites who live in Charleston, South Carolina. These are rich people.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. How is this different from like one of the Real Housewives episodes?
Well, it's men and women.
Yeah, they're younger and they're hot.
They're hip and they're young and they're full of Southern charm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like Shep. Chef Rose. Chef Rose is the dreamboat of the show.
He is just misguided. We don't know where he's going with his life.
Well, Chef's looking for love. And he's so successful in Southern Charm that E! Has announced a spinoff show for Chef where he will travel the country to meet ladies that are friends of friends, says the description.
What?
Is this real?
And the gals that he likes best will get a free trip to Charleston to see if they're Miss Right for Shep.
Huh.
Is it called Shep? Exclamation point?
No, no, Bean. Oh. That'd be silly. It debuts next Monday on Bravo Channel, and it's called...
Is it called The Bachelor?
Nope.
No.
It's called Relationship.
I don't hate it.
You should. You should goddamn hate
it. I will the next time I hear it, but that was good.
Relationship. God damn it.
Hey, you should be looking at Blondie, who watches that
right?
show.
Yeah, really?
I don't watch it. Girl, I just I like one of the girls that's on it, the way she does her makeup. So
same.
I looked it up.
You know
yeah.
all things.
She's
watching
adorable.
You.
She's pregnant right now, too.
Right?
Oh, is that, did she put that in makeup on her face? How'd you know she was pregnant if you were just watching for the makeup?
Because I looked her up on Instagram and she announced
watch.
It.
Watch.
They call her Pocahontas.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of watching, here's an exciting story. If you have DirecTV Now or the AT&T Audience Network... Mm-hmm. Then before the Super Bowl, you'll get to see a pre-Super Bowl live concert.
From?
Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
She'll be doing a live event on February 3rd at the Armory in downtown Minneapolis before the Super Bowl. Now, you need DirecTV Now or AT&T Audience Network to see it, but it'll be a little bonus entertainment for those of you who aren't tuning in for to see the football. You can see Jennifer Lopez performing live pre-Super Bowl. Just announced. I'm surprised.
Really?
Oh, come on! Right? Celebrity birthdays today. Judd Nelson's 58 years old today. Jon Stewart's 55. Mary Elizabeth Winstead's 33. And actress Karen Gillan celebrates her 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tim Minchin joins us in studio coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show and tells us he's going to be debuting a new song for us, which I'm very excited about coming up on K-Rock. So the president spent the Thanksgiving holiday weekend in Mar-a-Lago. By the way, this dude sure loves to golf, doesn't he?
He sure does, yeah.
I've never known anyone who has a job who is able to spend as much time golfing as our president. But he did take time from golfing at Mar-a-Lago this weekend to get in a lot of Twitter storms, which he's very, very good at. And we thought we might like to just run down a few of them, catch up with number 45, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who joins us on the phone, as he is kind enough to do from time to time on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. President, how are you, sir?
You are so lucky that I take time out from golfing to talk to you.
Well, we appreciate it very much.
Really, really lucky.
Didn't you say on the campaign trail that you were not going to have any time to golf because you were going to be too busy running the country?
I did. I said that, but I had no idea how easy it is to be president. I didn't
is that what it is?
All the extra time you have when you're president. Hmm. I can't believe these guys didn't golf more. It's so simple.
It's
a very, very simple job.
All right. Really so let's run down some of these tweet storms, if you don't mind, sir. And if you would, if you try not to call anybody a derogatory racial slur while we're on the phone.
It's not a racial slur, okay?
Well,
it wasn't a racial slur.
Unbelievable.
Start with that. Let's talk about this. The elephant in the room, okay?
Okay.
Is that a slur against fat broads?
No, that's just an expression.
Okay, so, elephant. I got to be very careful, apparently, for what I say. I was talking to the Navajo code
Navajo.
Talkers.
Navajo, right.
No, trust me, there's a J in there.
Right.
N-A-V-A-J-O.
Right, okay.
I have the best reading skills of anybody.
Okay.
The Navajos right. were there, and I was honoring them, okay?
Yes.
And I was talking about how great the Indians are.
Indians.
Terrific. I used to root for them against John Wayne back in the day. And then I was talking about Elizabeth Warren, who said she was Indian, by the way. Not mm-hmm. Indian. No dot on her head. I looked. There's no dot.
Oh, different. Man. That's not. You're confused.
So I call her Pocahontas. And everyone says, oh, that's a slur against people, and you shouldn't say that. And why not? It's Pocahontas. That's what all Indian women are called.
Okay, it's not at all true.
It's just false.
It's, I mean, you're taking somebody who's celebrated in Native American culture and you're reducing her to a racial slur. You didn't say it as a compliment to Senator
Warren. I didn't hear the Indians in the room complaining, okay? They didn't seem offended. It's one of the great things about the Redskins, by the way, is that you can do almost anything to them and they'll take it.
Nope.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Our history is great with that.
Okay.
White people, right?
No, that's not what we're saying at all. Okay.
Thanks so much.
So let's.
Those are all people that love me, by the way.
So
it sounded like a sound effect because it started really quickly and then ended really quickly.
Not these. I am your favorite president. Me.
Right. You have tweeted that. Yes.
Me.
Right.
Your favorite president.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
You claim that Time Magazine called you and wanted you to be their Person of the Year for 2017, but that you declined.
They called. They said I was probably going to be Man of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get it, I'd have to do an interview and a photo shoot. And I said, probably isn't good enough, okay? I pass. Thank you. No.
Okay.
Everyone loves me.
But you...
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank
you were... You were thank their you person of the year.
I don't know who are just here loving me.
Just random people that you're their favorite president.
Yes.
You were the person of the year last year for Time Magazine, but they say that they have not contacted you about this year and that you are simply incorrect, sir.
Time Magazine loves me. Okay, first of all, they love me. If you look at any of my golf courses, you'll see covers of Time Magazine with me all over it, talking about all my television success and The Apprentice and everything.
But you made those up. Those were fake. Those are just Photoshopped.
Yeah, Time Magazine is fake news. I agree with you.
No.
That's not what
fake
we're saying.
Fake news, unbelievably fake. But still, they love me, and they put me on the covers as often as they can.
Okay, you've been on the cover a bunch of times. That's why you don't have to fake covers is what my point is. You don't make up covers. You don't
Speaking
need to.
Speaking of the fake news, I'm starting a new contest called the Fake News Trophy.
Yes, let's talk about that.
And whoever is the fakest wins, which... sounds like that's a bad idea. You shouldn't reward someone
right.
for being fake.
Right.
Now that I think about it, that was a dumb idea. But I'm going to have a fake news trophy, and the worst network, who's bad to me, your favorite president. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I got to laugh.
We'll receive the fake news trophy.
And how do we decide who is the most dishonest, corrupt, and or distorted in their political coverage?
I'll probably ask Pocahontas to help me.
Okay.
It. You know, I'm talking to some African-Americans today in the White House.
Nope.
Wait till you see what word I dropped today.
Nope.
Please
awesome.
Don't. Make
Please
sure
don't.
You tune in.
Nope.
We'll be right back
no, sir.
After this commercial.
No. Sir. Well, this is fun. It's been on the calendar for a while. We've been looking forward to it. Comedian, musician, actor, writer, ladies and gentlemen, our friend Tim Minchin, back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Tim.
Hi.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah. Thanks for having me back. You're always very good about having me back.
We love having you.
I don't contribute much to the world.
Anytime you want, as long as we're here, you're invited. That's
what tomorrow? Can I come back tomorrow?
Come on back tomorrow.
As long as we're here. We're not positive.
Okay.
So, Tim, so much to catch up on. You've been very busy since the last time we saw you. In fact, the last time you came in.
What was I doing?
Remember, you announced to us that you were writing the Groundhog Day musical.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, is it that long ago?
It has been a while since we've seen you. And I remember thinking at that time that was the greatest idea ever. Was it the greatest idea ever in retrospect?
Yeah, it's I absolutely love it. It went to Broadway and got all these Tony nominations and great reviews and stuff. And then closed on Broadway because Broadway's like the red wedding from Game of Thrones.
Really?
It's just full of people with knives and but also it's an incredibly sort of complex piece of theatre. Not like you can't get it complex, but there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an existential, you know what Groundhog Day is about. It's really about life and finding happiness and being lovable and getting through horrible times. And, you know, on the surface it's a comedy, which our musical is too, but, you know, not far below the surface it's an existential exploration of the human condition. And, you know, I'm not sure if Broadway was quite ready for that, but it'll open in the West End soon, and I'm incredibly proud of it, and you would love it, I'm sure.
I'm dying to see it. I bought the soundtrack album, by the way, and I love the songs on already, and I haven't even seen the show. And the thing about musicals, when they have success like Groundhog Day did, and of course Matilda, they in some ways they never stop playing, right? I mean, isn't Matilda still going around the world and still playing to people all over the world?
Yeah, Matilda's still in London into its seventh year, and the Australian New Zealand tour just ended. It's going on tour around the UK, and a new version in South Korea has just.
Is that right?
Oh, no. Sorry, that's still to come. In the Philippines, it's just opened. So, and then Groundhog Day is more of a mystery to us because it is this extraordinarily interesting piece. And I've got a feeling it's going to have a very long life, but we'll just have to wait and see.
When you do a show like that, it is years of your life, right?
Years.
do you want to stay away from that for a while and maybe just do an album or just do a comedy tour or just do something that's not quite as much of a commitment?
Yeah, I need to get back because I spent 4 years making an animated musical at DreamWorks that then Universal Studios bought DreamWorks and just chucked $50 million and 5 years' worth of work in the bin.
Oh, my God, that's got to be heartbreaking.
In the bin. And then we took Groundhog Day to Broadway, and that had all its politics. And I'm not just tired of the long lead of those projects. I'm tired of the...
The BS.
Yeah, the kind of psychopathy of the upper echelons of all industries, I think.
Yeah.
I try not to blame America, but my bad experiences have been here.
I mean...
And, you know, leaders in this country tend to have a talent for psychopathic behavior, I think. That's how they got there.
Right?
Yes, we're going to talk about you moving in a minute, but let me get back to the animated movie from it. This is the Larrigans, it's called, right?
Yeah, Larrigans. It was
So you, when they pull the plug on that, you have no ownership of it, right? Do you have no recourse? There's no way you can reclaim it and still do it somewhere else, or what's the status?
It's interesting. So I still own the songs, but the way I write songs, as you guys know, for theatre and film, they're very, very specific. So they're no good to me outside the context of our animated outback road movie Australian adventure, singing animal movie. And look, the Universal used it as a write-down against the purchase of the studio, which means they've got their benefit from it, but they still won't sell it for less than the total amount of what it cost for DreamWorks to make. It's really weird.
So they're not going to use it, but they're also not going to let anyone else use it.
They won't use it, and they won't let anyone else buy it for less than it already costs, which makes it impossible, because they then also insist on having quite a lot of the back end if someone else makes it.
Oh, my gosh.
And they looked me in the eye and said, well, it's schmuck insurance. And I went, what? And they explained that the two executives or four executives who made the decision, don't want to look silly.
And that's what that's all about.
That's what they care about, not the 120 artists who spent months and months of their lives pouring their heart and souls into this beautiful piece of art.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's awful.
You got to burn this mother down.
I know. But look, they might be right. Maybe it wasn't going to work. But these studios buy other studios for the pre-existing intellectual property. They bought DreamWorks for Shrek and Madagascar because they want to pull that out of the ashes, not because they want to make original content.
Hmm. Tim, when you go to the movies, like will you see Coco, for instance?
I couldn't watch an animated film. It got shut down in March, and it really broke my heart. And because you spend the most ridiculous amount of time on, you wouldn't believe it. You know, the surface of a feather is 5 hour long meetings. You know,
wow.
And you're creating a whole world, so I couldn't watch animation.
You can't go see anything right now.
I couldn't. I think Coco's got it. I've got it. That's got to be the thing that gets me back on.
That'll be the one.
Because I love animation, and I've fallen in love with it.
All right. How much of your experience with the film studio led to you announcing, I'm leaving California, I'm heading back to Australia. Bye, America. See you, suckers.
Look, to be honest, and look, I'm telling a very personal version of the story. So that I don't get sued, I should say this is my point of view of how these things work. And the fact is, I was always moving back to Australia. That was our plan since Violet was born 11 years ago, that when she was 11 or 12, we'd move back. So
to do high school?
To do high school and be closer to our... I've got a big extended family. And I also want to be the sort of person who doesn't prioritize career and, you know, exactly that, you know, I'm going to go as far as I can and get as rich and famous as I can. I've always tried to make decisions that aren't about that. But deep down, I am that person, but I'm trying to not be that person.
Deep down, there's a certain part of you that has to be that person.
Yeah, you don't do...
You have to pay your bills. You have to do stuff.
And you have to go where the work is.
Yeah. And also, you don't get to perform live and be in movies and do the things that I've been privileged enough to do without a certain burn in you. You don't... It's a very competitive industry. Yeah. So I've got that burn, but I want to prioritize my family. They've been following me around since they were alive, and my wife's been following me around for 13 years, and it's time to put them next to the beach.
But Violet is an American, really. I mean, she spent her whole life here, right?
How dare you?
I'm just saying, is this a tough sell?
You're an American.
Is this a tough sell to the kid to go, hey, I'm taking you to this country you barely remember?
Actually, Casper, I was practicing the song I'm about to sing for you last night, and Casper was in bed, and he came out, and he finds that song very hard to listen to, and he just started bawling in a very... He's only eight, but he was like, I don't want to cry, but I'm going to miss the observatory in Griffith Park.
Oh,
you know?
Is that right?
And so it's going to be very hard for him. He was four when we moved here, and Violet was seven. Mm-hmm. They're going to find it hard, but also we're moving right back to near their aunts and cousins and right to the beach, and
oh, that's
they'll
good.
Be okay. It's going quickly. To suck leaving, and honestly, I've made beautiful friends here, and because I'll be back, I'll come back all the yeah. time.
Sure. The
I'll,
upside I'll be of all this means you'll tour more, right?
Yeah. Well, that's
so
hopefully,
that's good for us.
Yeah, I do, and I'm and out of the anger of this tough year, which I'm not saying is tough in the global context, but just for my little stupid self-indulgent arty world, I am trying to write songs and trying not to say this is comedy and this is not comedy. I'm just trying to write. Trying to get something out of my fury and, you know.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So I'm going to try and make a studio album for the first time in my life.
Is that right?
Wow.
Okay.
That's what this is all about. That's what these gigs are about, is just trying songs on people.
Well, let's talk about the gigs, because you're doing a California mini tour, basically. You're saying goodbye to fans in Santa Barbara, San Francisco, San Diego, and Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And our date here is this Thursday night at the Wiltern. Tickets yes. are on sale now through your website, timminchin.com, or through Ticketmaster. Just mm-hmm. a few left to see the show. And I, as I understand, you're doing some special things kind of on these final dates.
Yeah, well, in England and Australia, it's been a good few years since people sort of knew me only as a comedian. In America, I'm still weirdly known either as that weird naked guy from Californication,
right,
or as a comedian because of YouTube and stuff. But for quite a few years now, in the rest of the world, I've just been going, come to my show and see what happens. And so this has no structured stand-up. This is me just talking about what I feel like talking about in the moment. And the songs are plenty of my old comedy songs. I've actually just been re-practicing one I haven't played for years. I'm going to drop that into the set this week. But yeah, like three or four songs that the audience won't have ever heard before.
Nice.
And look, you'll see from this song I play, when I say non-comedy, my lyrics are still quirky and overwordy and weird. I don't know how to write
like
pop
you do.
Songs.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So look,
we don't need people to write more pop songs.
No, that's no, right.
Right.
We
got enough of those.
We don't need more inane lyrics. We don't need anyone else to rhyme dove with love. But I did the gig in Santa Barbara and San Francisco last week, and they went down really well, and we're really I'm enjoying it. You know,
good.
There might be a couple of other musos popping on stage.
Thursday night at the Wiltern, timminchin.com or ticketmaster.com. Just a few left, and we can vouch for Tim on stage. He is phenomenal. You guys will have a great time if you go to the show. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll tune up here, and you're going to world premiere a new song for us, right?
I'm very excited.
Can't wait. Tim Minchin is our guest. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Our friend Tim Minchin in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is back. Comedian, musician, actor, writer, all-around nice guy. Tim, are you the kind of guy who is always writing songs, or do you put yourself into, all right, coming up in February, that's when I'm going to sit down and take out the pad and start writing?
No, yeah, I'm more the I'm more the latter, really, and not self-disciplined, because sort of, unfortunately, some of the magic's gone, because you spend your early career writing songs because they come out of you. They pour. That's a disgusting
yes,
image.
Yes, I'm not positive pour. That's how you want to
it's
describe
just,
it.
You wake up in the morning and there's some song on the shit. But then I got into a place where I wrote Matilda and stuff, and now I write on demand. And so one of the positives to come out of this loss of some of this work is that I, for the first time, have been writing from impulse, from a need to write my feelings out, which is sort of something I've always slightly rolled my eyes at. But you know, it's
sort of therapy.
But yeah, yeah. And the most unique ideas come from unique experiences, right? If you're writing from nothing, then you're just going to write cliches. But if you've had an experience that is unique, that's when you're going to write something interesting, right?
And this song that you're about to play for us, this yeah. has to do with your decision to pack your family up and leave America.
Yeah, this is called Leaving L.A., and this little tour that I'm doing is called Leaving L.A., and it's partly to kind of debut these new songs, especially this one, ahead of me hopefully getting to a studio and recording them. But I'm going to ruin the live debut by radio debut.
I mean, let's try it. Let's see how it works.
Can you make me sound pretty? Can you give me a piano?
I can give you a piano.
All right, we got the piano. That's good.
Yeah. So I'm going to turn my... This is very... very
how's the reverb? There, yeah. How's that reverb?
Hey, do I sound lovely? Maybe I'll just sing a little Sinatra. I got you under my skin. Can you put my piano up a bit in my ears without affecting the world, or should I just turn my volume up?
Yeah, you got to turn your volume up, unfortunately.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Tim, can we request the no F-word version?
Do you mind?
Okay,
can I do freaking?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Freaking's good.
I like that you said it first and
yeah.
then
yeah,
asked.
I appreciate you asked on the air, right.
May I do the word
yes.
scrotum? a little bit less reverb. It's
reverb, true. Okay.
Okay, here we go. I'll split the difference. All right, here we go. Super professional.
Yeah. check the locks and leave the keys. Moldy bath masked with Febreze. Something's dead behind the refrigerator. Some poor schmuck will deal with it later. I've spent the last 10 weeks squeezing out the sponge of friendships, plugging leaks. I've talked until there's no more to say. I'm going away. I'm leaving LA. I'm leaving LA. And the tourists say, please give me the directions to the Hollywood sign. I always dreamt of coming here to see the Hollywood sign. But on their way back down, we'll ask, did you have a good time? They'll say, it's just some frickin' letters on a hill. But still, I wander through the Bronson Caves. One more okay coffee at the Oaks Gourmet. I'll watch the players at the UCB trying to improvise their way out of ennui. And on TV, as you and me walking trails in the creeping dark up to the observatory in Griffith Park. There's too much light for stars anyway. I'm getting out of this place. I'm leaving LA. I'm leaving LA. Hey, and the studio executives who never made a thing, blaming others for their losses, taking credit for their wins, wiping the blood of dumb artists from their chins, grinning, kid, you oughtn't take it personally. On Hollywood and Vine, a dime store Spider-Man shouting at a stoned Emma Stone dressed a la 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 Land. And in the distance, in both its glorious dimensions, the sign projects its shadow on a hill. A Russian biomachine gun cops at LAX. Malfunctioning departure board says we're boarding next. Belt off, shoes off, jacket off, hat. Don't need the attitude, but I quite enjoy the subsequent pat down. And I'm sat down as the A380 engine roars, pushed backwards even as this tube of monkeys rumbles forwards. I'm looking forward to another 20 hours on a plane. Nothing but crap films and my brain. I've been going slowly insane. I've seen your sport and I don't wanna play. I'm getting out of this place. I'm getting out of this place. I'm leaving LA. I am the actors at Gratitude drinking undrinkable juice, and the agents taking 10% in their sneakers and suits, and the riders in their Teslas trying to punch up Act One, driving home in the 101 in the relentless SoCal sun, and the greedy and the needy and the homeless and horny, and the deals done on treadmills at 10 to 6 in the morning, and the captains on the PA saying, look for the sign, but I find it's just some freaking letters on a hill. Just some ugly goddamn letters. I'm leaving LA.
I mean. F this place, right? Who's with me?
It's not personal.
Don't take it personally. Wow. That's amazing.
I wish I had the ability to take my feelings and turn it into that.
We could do a workshop.
It would be a long workshop.
I don't want to know you.
Wait,
I
what
want to make your
line?
Feelings rhyme.
It's too light there for stars anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the idea of observing. Yes, it's, I guess
that
it's
was amazing.
So good.
That was really amazing.
Is that cathartic for you to sing that, Tim?
It is, actually. And singing it in a studio, like, yeah, because you can just sit in your world. I think, yeah, it is. It is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait.
Hey, baby.
I don't think we need to know.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it won't be eventually. Hopefully, it'll just be a song people like. But in the first 100 sings, it's got a bit of
you can sure see the sincerity in your face and in your heart. You can tell where it's coming from. And
thanks.
That was beautiful.
Thanks, man. I like... You know, I've never made a studio album in 25 years of writing songs because I feel like it's just a lack of opportunity early on and then other things in the last 10 years. But I do feel like I've been lucky because in the age where record deals and stuff tumbled and live became the thing again, I'm like a live guy.
The only thing, almost.
Yeah, that's right. That's how you make your money. And as it turns out, I want to make a record because I love the art form, but live is my thing, and I've been able to tour live without record companies or advertisers or anything. And it's, I think the thing I can do, I don't have a beautiful voice and I don't have lots of stuff, but I do feel like I have that ability to drop into the thing I'm saying and be truthful about it.
Yeah. And that's not something everyone has. Yeah. I mean, that's really
what I'm trying to hold on to through all my bitterness, is try to hold on to some honesty. You know?
This is the voice of Tim Minchin here on the Kevin Minchin, our guest in studio. Just a few tickets left if you want to see Tim.
Nope,
don't need it now,
Kevin.
Don't need it now.
Sorry, I thought.
Thursday night at the Wiltern, go to timminchin.com or Ticketmaster. Hey, I wanted to ask you about one more thing, speaking of music. You did, I think it was a Facebook interview recently with Paul McCartney?
Yeah, with Sir Paul, yeah.
You interviewed him?
Yeah. I know, it's a travesty. He should have been interviewing me.
How did that come about, though?
He's doing his first tour in Australia for 20-something years, and in that kind of way that promoters are paranoid, they thought, what if we don't sell tickets? So,
for Paul McCartney?
Yeah, exactly, right.
Really?
But they just wanted to do a special announcement, and because in Australia I'm kind of, you know, it's reasonably known, and because Paul knows my work and stuff, someone suggested me to him, and he went, yeah, get that guy. As an Australian, it's just announcing a tour, really. But
sure.
I think Paul enjoyed... I call him Paul now.
It was Sir Paul about 30 seconds ago.
I know, we've developed. Our relationship's come a long way. I think he really enjoyed it because I'm just absolutely befuddled and blown away by the fact that they wrote those songs in so short a time at such a young age. And not just
200 songs in like 8 years.
Yeah, right. And they were 23, 22 when they wrote some of the greatest songs ever written. And lyrically, that's the maturity that... I get that there's virtuosic musical brains, but that maturity, lyrical maturity, I find it's taken me years to not suck at lyrics, if I indeed not suck at lyrics. And... I wanted to talk about that, and I think he really enjoyed that rather than, so who are you married to now? Or, you know, what have you done with your hair or whatever?
Because we've been lucky enough to have Paul on the show as well. Did you find
you've had Paul too.
But you find that...
By the way, I accidentally hung up on him.
Yeah. How do you possibly ask him a question he hasn't been asked before is the one thing that went through my mind, because he's been interviewed every day for the last 60 years.
Yeah, and he doesn't love it. You know that as well. You come into it knowing he's not having
a great time. He sure does... try to act like it. To his credit, he really tries to act like he's having a great time with interviews, and you know he can't be.
He can't be, right? But I, as someone who's done a thousandth of the number of interviews, but have gone through periods in my life where I'm doing a huge amount of them, and the questions are always the same, you don't need someone to be super clever, like, I'm coming at a weird angle, that annoys you. You just think, oh yeah, you're coming at it from a weird angle, good one. You just, if someone's kind and authentic and makes an honest attempt to ask honest questions that aren't about stuff that what you're promoting is not about. Paul's got so much he can talk about, and I'm sure he's sick of it, but I think you just get a vibe from people when you're getting interviewed, and you can't really fake it. Either you click with the person, doesn't matter how famous they are, or you don't.
But, I mean, you were a huge fan, and I'm sure that was evident to him, and I'm sure he appreciated that. But then again, when does he ever run into someone who's not a huge fan of Paul McCartney? Yeah. You know, it's hard to do something different, I guess, is what I'm saying.
And I think because he knows about Matilda, and I didn't know he knew anything about me. I thought we'd just been stuck together. But he said, oh, yes, we've been watching you come up, you know. And
how crazy is that? Just that sentence alone.
If I knew... If someone told me one day Paul would say it to me when I was playing. Oh, it's just unbelievable. But I think because he saw me as an interesting songwriter or something, then my questions came from a place of admiration from someone who has some clue about what, you know.
Right. You know something about
how hard it is. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a nice bonus for you to get to do something like that.
So
I love that.
Now you're going to go back to Australia and you're going to dedicate some time to family. Is it going to be a little more difficult because you're more famous there?
That's a really interesting question. Interesting for me, surely not interesting for your listeners. But yeah, we bought a house in Sydney, and immediately the house was on an internet site. And I get death threats because of my old, you know, religious material and stuff. And I wrote to the journal and said, you know, I get death threats, and where I live has nothing to do with you. And I don't do any gossip press. I don't go to openings. I just do my work. I promote my work. And you can't find a picture of my children on the internet. Why would you think that I'm the sort of celebrity, if that's the horrible word you want to use, that wants you to be in their life?
And what was their response?
She said, part of our job as journalists is to keep a handle on what the powerful are doing with their money.
What?
Which is true, is what journalists do. But I said, but our house is not, it's like, oh, I won't put a figure on it, but it's a four-bedroom house near the beach. So it's expensive in Sydney, but it ain't a mansion.
Right.
It's a
1950s. And if it were, by the way, that's still private information as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it depends who you are. If you're the head of a bank, maybe.
But I don't know how that matters to anyone.
Well, no, but that's very American that you're outraged.
If you have a $50 million house, who cares? Good for you.
Well, it depends what you've done to get your money. I know that that is the difference between the slightly socialist English person and the general American consensus.
I've earned it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the absence of free will. Anyway.
That's a nice welcome to the neighborhood, isn't it? Yeah,
it'll be interesting. But the amazing thing about Australia is because I wrote this song called Cardinal Pell, which kind of had a really big impact on this the biggest Catholic cardinal in Australia who allegedly and I believe didn't do anywhere near enough to punish, and I think he facilitated paedophile priests, but and that's been said many times in the press, so I'm not slandering him. But I wrote a song that called Come Home Cardinal Pell, because he refused to come home, or said his health was bad, to come home to the Royal Commission one time. And it had a And so when I'm in Sydney, like most days, someone will come up and start crying and say, my dad had never talked about this thing we knew had happened, but when their song came on the radio for the first time, he felt like it was in the public domain as an issue, and he cried. And
wow.
I've got hundreds of letters like that. So and then there's the right-wing press who do cartoons about me and call me an anti-religious bigot. And so it's a different atmosphere.
Yeah.
But the love I get from, like, it's often like 65-year-old. Oh, you're Tim, I'm sorry to stop you. We just love you. The girls and I, we listen to all your stuff. Like, it's a lot of that, and I feel so good about that.
Well, we're sad to be losing you, and we're happy for you and your family, and I hope you have a wonderful transition and a wonderful time down under. And as Ali mentioned, you're going to be touring again, so we will get the opportunity to see you, right?
Yeah, you'll probably see me more.
When you come back through town, you'll come here.
I hope so, please,
unless
we all have a falling out.
In the next 30 seconds, I hope not.
I think we're going to make it.
I think we're going to make it, too. Go to timminchin.com or ticketmaster.com for the show at the Wiltern this Thursday night. Just a few seats left, if any at all. Tim, we love you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
A few weeks ago, Ralph made a joke, I think, about Chip's band Well Hung Heart by calling them William Hung Heart, and somehow that ended up happening. And her band performed with William Hung over the weekend. We're going to talk to the man who made it happen, a man named Noodles from The Offspring, coming up right after the top of the hour. First, that same Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Mr. Rogers is coming back.
I'm sorry?
Mr. Rogers is coming back.
I have some bad
can't wait
news.
For zombies.
You're the best.
Beautiful day, neighborhood. Beautiful day, neighbor brains.
How is this happening?
But I get all soapy. You know, soap suds all over me.
Mm-hmm.
And then my grandfather would take this hose
and
go like this with me. He'd squirt all over
me until
the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Yeah, Fred.
So you were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Yes, Fred.
Inappropriate.
Focus Features has announced a documentary about his life called Won't You Be My Neighbor?
The film will be out in theaters next June. Finally, the true story of Mr. Rogers. You know, he was completely tatted underneath that sweater.
Right. That's just
from his sleeves, back, chest. He was a sniper with the Marines.
I heard that's I heard that's over 89
registered kills.
Wow. None of that is
his service. Most of those with his hands.
Yes, as a sniper, you usually do. Kill a lot of guys with your hands.
You use whatever's there, man.
Sure. As a sniper, that's what they say. As a sniper, that the one thing they say about snipers is you use whatever is there to kill people with. That's what they're known for, those snipers.
How about
snipers.
Some make-believe about hose?
Yep, in different area codes.
Some people call it a mouth organ, as you blow in there.
Okay. He was a legendary ladies' man. He had 17 children. With 21 different women, which
none
I don't even know how that math
none
works
of that
out.
Is true.
But it's crazy math, but it is true. children of all different ethnicities. He was very liberal in his leanings when it came to the vajayjay.
You know what about Mr. Fred Rogers?
And
here,
yet,
right?
Oddly, was a founding member of the Ku Klux Klan in his neighborhood.
Again.
So he was very socially liberal when it came to his penis.
I don't know.
When it came to his politics, huge racist.
None of this
which
is true.
Which is odd.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
You may have noticed everyone in the land of make believe. White puppets, just saying.
Hi, neighbor. Had a little trouble with my zipper there.
X the Owl is usually known as KKK the Owl.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
And he was the founder, of course, of ISIS.
Mr. McFeely came over here last night and asked if he could do something fun for me.
Oh.
A kind of secret, he said.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Don't tell anybody. Deliveries in the rear with Mr. McFeely.
All right, back to the story.
Man.
What
he
is this happening?
None of your beeswax
okay,
now.
You don't care now?
I told you, it's going to be out in theaters next June.
Next June. Okay.
Next summer, we'll see an in-depth documentary about the life and times of Mr. Rogers called Won't You Be My Neighbor?
Probably a racist killer, too.
Interesting story, yes. James Franco said yesterday he is working on a new superhero film. He won't tell us which one. However, there have been rumors about him playing a character from the Marvel Comics universe. He said he'll star in the movie and produce the movie as well. But he did not tell The Hollywood Reporter what character he's playing. The rumor is he's going to play Multiple Man.
Multiple Man.
Who, of course, first appeared in The Fantastic Four back in 1975 and was played by Eric Dane in the last X-Men movie. So maybe a new breakout character for James Franco, Multiple Man. Right. He's a character, Allie, who, of course, can.
He had multiple arms, multiple limbs,
nope.
So he could hug you from across the room.
He was not. He did not have the superpower of hugging.
Oh.
No. He was able to create and control duplicates of himself.
Ah, to hug.
Not hug. No, to fight crime. Mm.
To hug now, crime. Forgive
did
me if this is a
crime.
Dumb question, Ralph, but do his duplicates all have to be in the same area, same room, or can he dispense a guy that looks just like him across country to do a job and then somebody else across, you know, another part of the city to do work? In other words, can he just spread them out and control them wherever they are?
Is that your final question?
Yes, that's my question. Or does he just duplicate himself, like in a fight, for instance, and there could be like five of him fighting a gang?
But they have
something.
To be like 4 feet from him.
They have to be in the same room.
Will they fall
is that what you're asking? Do they all have to be in the same room?
In the same general vicinity? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Multiple limbs, not sounded so dumb.
Nope. Allie, I think I'm going with you for the win.
Do they have to be like on a clown car where they all have to be in the same place and then they get out and there's a lot of them?
What's the radius?
So, your answer then is that...
Here's my answer. Shut the hell up!
Okay.
Here's my answer.
I just don't know anything about Multiple Man. I'm sorry.
Speaking of superhero movies, the Avengers movie. Kevin Feige told Vanity Fair magazine that Avengers 4 will bring something you never see in a superhero film.
Okay.
You know what that thing is? Can you guess?
Something you never see in a
something
superhero.
Something you never see in a superhero film. That's right, Wang Bone.
Yes.
Captain Wang Bone.
Avengers 4 is going to have Wang Bone. A finale. They say this story will end in Avengers 4.
Wow.
Oh. Moving, meaning that perhaps some characters die, some move forward to tell other stories, but he said there will be two distinct periods, everything before Avengers 4 and then everything after.
Interesting.
And it will be in ways that people are not expecting, he said. So
that's exciting.
Looks like they're intent on making this a real movie, which is good news. Today's celebrity birthdays, Karen Gillan, Speaking of superhero movies, she, of course, from Guardians of the Galaxy, also Doctor Who. 30 years old today. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is 33 years old. Jon Stewart of Daily Show fame is 55. And actor Judd Nelson turns 58. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of the offspring, say hi to our old friend Noodles on the phone with us right now. Hey, Noodles.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
How long has your band been together?
Oh, 33 years?
Holy crap.
Yeah. Been a while.
The offspring, you guys have been together longer than the Kevin and Bean Show has been on the air.
Wow.
Right? That makes us all feel old.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Noodles, one side note on that. A lot of bands can't stand each other after 10, 12, 15, 18 years. How have you done that?
Yeah. Who says we can stand each other?
Well, okay.
They do take some time off.
We tolerate each other at this point.
Okay. All right.
No, it's like, it really is, it's like brothers, you know, you love your brothers, but you really only want to see them on Thanksgiving and Christmas. You know?
Right. Okay. Well, the reason we have you on is the Offspring did their final show of the year at the Del Mar Fall Concert Series this past Saturday night, and you were very kind to have Well Hung Heart open up again. I know that you guys right. have a little mutual love affair with one another. It's not the first time they've opened up for you. And you planned something special for your personal friend Chip, their bassist. And we're dying to find out the process, where the idea came from, and how you got it together.
Right. Well, the idea came from the show. I was in my car listening to you guys one morning over the summer. I think it was August or July. And William Hung was in the news. And I don't remember what for. somebody said, we need to get William Hung with Well Hung Heart together, and you guys all agreed, you laughed, and then all agreed that that needed to happen.
And then, of course, we did nothing.
You did nothing. It moved on. And then we were having Well Hung Heart open for us at the Observatory, local show, a smaller venue here in Santa Ana, and I tried to get William Hung to come out for that, and he couldn't make it, or I can't remember if he wasn't available or just wasn't into it.
Does he have people?
He does, yeah. He's got an agent. He actually has a real job. He works for the technical crimes unit of the Los Angeles County Sheriff.
What?
No. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I know, right? And I didn't get a chance to ask him about that. I wanted to. That seems just intensely interesting
it
to
does.
Me.
Now, do you get the sense that he still has a musical career and that he performs a certain number of gigs per year still?
No. What he's doing is he's moved on to his inspirational speaking engagement.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Again, please.
He does speaking engagements now, and he talks about how he came to success. You know, he's got three records out, right?
Right.
Not just one record. He didn't just turn that into one record. He turned that into three records. We've all seen him on American Idol, know how good he is, and and he turned that into a three-record career, and now he just does speaking engagements.
Okay, so when you – now, do you make the call, Noodles, or do your people reach out to his people?
Ran it by the guys. Hey, you know, make sure everyone is on board with this. Dexter loved it. I think Greg's a lot like Kevin. He was kind of like, I don't care about that. wanted to just move on, right? And but Dexter was all about it, and so we had our guys contact their guy. And then I got this email back, and he said he had a couple of concerns. One, he didn't know the song. Two, he'd heard the song, but it's kind of weird. Now, the song is, of course, Smash Mouth's All-Star.
The best song of all time ever.
Right? Yeah.
Now, wait. So explain to us how that became a thing. Chip, was that you?
I don't know. It just became a meme between us. Like, that was, like, the punchline song. Like, nothing against that song. Like, whatever. It is what it is. But for some reason, that song just became, like, the joke for us.
Right, and we keep going back and forth, and we've got an Ally involved in that as well on Twitter.
Very good stuff.
For sure, yeah. And so then he came back with, well, can we just do She Bangs? Or he says, I don't know, a song like Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please.
You know, we really kind of, you know, missed opportunity there. But we stuck with All-Star, and he came out, he showed up, and he was phenomenal. Now, I got to give props to Well Hung Heart for going along with this. They didn't know who I had got, you know, to do this, who the celebrity guest was going
to
be.
Chip, you tell us about the band and what that experience was like, not knowing who your secret guest was.
Okay, well, you know me, and I love nonsense.
Yes.
So as soon as Noodle says, learn All-Star, I'm like, I'm in. I don't care. But at first, like, the first time I told him, like, hey, we need to learn this song, it was kind of like, really? And I'm like, no, trust me. Like, it'll be fine. And then, like, it just, like, I told him, we'll just have fun with it, and it'll look worse if you don't look like you're having fun.
Right.
Like,
just commit go with it. Go.
And then they were all in.
So. Now, Noodles, why did you not want to tell them who the guest was?
Because it's awesome.
I just wanted to kind of, I don't know, I wanted it to be a surprise, you know. But then, of course, William Hung had to go to the bathroom, so he walked from the trailer to the bathroom, and everybody saw him.
So, right, so there's that.
You know. So
much for that surprise.
Yes, that happened right before, like 15 minutes before their set. So then I introduced everybody, and that probably worked out better. You know, it calmed everybody's nerves. And I got to tell you, you know, Well Hung Heart Chips Band had the song down. They even had some audience participation at the beginning. And then William Hung came out, and he was great. He did the dance, you know, he sang along. He did what he did what you would expect him to do.
He did William Hart things.
Yeah,
things,
exactly.
Sorry.
It was perfect. So William Well Hung Heart was a huge success. Everyone's still talking.
And by
about.
The way, and Chip was telling us this yesterday, Noodles, the crowd, first of all, loved All Star, and it didn't seem ironically. It seemed like they were really excited to hear that song. And two, they really gave William Hung a warm welcome, like they were in on it.
Yeah, they loved him. You know, he's still, he is an anti-hero. Everybody loves him, you know, because nobody would suspect that, right? You know, so he's so endearing. He's got that. You know, you never know. People just have it, and he's got it.
Well, Chip, is Greta nervous at all that she could be replaced at any moment?
I mean, we haven't made the call yet.
No. She's got to know.
All right. We have a little soundboard tape of the show. This isn't really going to do it justice without being able to see it, but this is All Star with William Hung and Well Hung Heart from this past Saturday.
Seems to be doing some type of spoken word. What
happened? He goes, I don't know all the words, but that's okay. That's kind of my thing.
Well, Noodles, you are a prankster and always have been, but I love that you pulled this off. I love that you went behind Chip's back and made this thing happen. That was a great surprise for her and for all the fans of Del Mar.
And props to Well Hung Heart for letting it happen as well, because not a lot of bands would have gone along with that. So I appreciate their good, you know, sense of humor in it all.
Well, it was awesome. Well, if we don't talk to you again, have a wonderful holiday, you and your family and the band, and thank you for all the years of support on the show. We love having you on, Noodles.
Well, and likewise. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:35.
That means it's Ralph Garman time. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
Showbiz stuff.
All right.
We've got Jeremy Piven's series, Wisdom of the Crowd. Piven, of course, has been accused of sexual harassment by three women. Now, he has adamantly denied the accusations, but CBS is taking them seriously. And it looks like it's all over for that series. Wisdom of the Crowd will no longer be carried on CBS. The show was originally signed for 13 episodes. Apparently, they all will be aired. But after that, no more production for Wisdom of the Crowd.
I am shocked that show will be on the air for even 13 episodes, as dumb as the concept is.
Okay.
Okay.
Then forget what CBS said. Bean said it won't be on the air.
Well, no, it is. I'm saying, I'm stunned that it didn't get canceled just for poor ratings, even if Jeremy Piven weren't in the news with all this stuff going on. It just looked like a dumb show.
The average ratings were about 8.9 million viewers.
Wow, that's a lot.
Per episode for that show. So does not disappoint it in terms of ratings. But CBS doesn't want to be in the Jeremy Piven business any longer, so they are going to be moving on. CBS has announced, however, they have picked up more episodes of Man with a Plan and Superior Donuts, those two comedies. Man with a Plan stars Joey Tribbiani, of course, from Friends, Matt LeBlanc, and Judd Hirsch and Jermaine Fowler star in Superior Donuts. CBS says it's much easier this season to decide which shows to keep and which ones to let go. Just keep the ones where the guys don't rape anybody.
Is that there?
They said in a statement, which is a good policy, I think. Mm. The Avengers movie, tomorrow. The trailer drops. I'm just going to sit by my computer for 24 hours. Wait. It is, it's going to be something that most superhero movies are not, says President Kevin Feige of Marvel Studios. He says that it's going to be a finale. This will bring the Avengers story to an end. He said there will be two distinct periods. in Marvel movie history, everything before Avengers 4 and everything after, leading people to think that there may be some superheroes dying, some others moving forward to other stories. The Avengers, third film in the Avengers series, Avengers Infinity War, will be in theaters on May 4th of next year. And then the fourth Avengers film will be out the following year in May of 2019. So you may have to wait a little bit to get your finale,
okay,
as expected. Good news, however, MTV has announced the return of Jersey Shore. Woo! Yay!
Woo! Wait, you just said good news.
What? Yes!
Jersey Shore?
Yes, we got Dina back and Pauly D, Jay Wow, Vinny, Ronnie, Snooki, The Situation, Chlamydia. We get Clammy Steve.
Clammy Steve was my favorite.
We get Joey the Stairs, Paisan. We get Formica Sally. All of them are going to be back.
Can't wait.
Here was the announcement made last night on MTV.
We're back, bitches. It's a Jersey Shore family vacation coming in 2018. Can't wait.
Oh, I hope Snooki brings her kids.
Right?
Be great. I bet she uses leashes. I bet she's got a mom that puts her kids on leashes. I'm just guessing. I think she's got two kids. I bet she's got a leash in each hand. Takes them for a walk in the park. Lets them poop in the grass. That's what I'm guessing about her as a mom. We'll all find out in 2018 when Jersey Shore Family Vacation premieres. This all happened last night during the premiere of Florabama Shore, which is another spinoff. It is a show like Jersey Shore about a bunch of partying young folks, but instead of being uneducated Jersey kids, they are uneducated Florida and Alabama kids.
Oh, I see.
So it's a different vibe, it's a different take.
I heard that they drink too much and make poor decisions on that show.
Nah, that's not possible. Who would want to watch that? President Donald J. Trump is now speculating that the famous Access Hollywood tape, the one of him talking about groping and kissing women without their consent, has been doctored. It's not real. It's fake.
Help me understand
this. He's telling advisors.
Help me understand this, because he apologized for it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And said it was just locker room talk at the time.
So what's your point?
Mm-hmm. And now he's saying that it was false?
Yes, Kevin. Thank you for keeping up. Meanwhile, Access Hollywood responded to those accusations last night. Host Natalie Morales said, "We wanted to clear something up. It has been reported across the media landscape. Let us make this perfectly clear. The tape is very real." Remember, his excuse at the time was locker room talk. He said every one of those words. Go home. Get a job. Get a job. I think Natalie Morales has a job, Mr. President. She's the host.
Go home to mommy.
Access Hollywood. I believe she is a mother. I don't think she has to go home to mom.
Big mouth.
No, I don't think. I think her mouth is perfectly average sized.
What do I know about it? All I know is what's on the internet.
It's true. Meanwhile, former Access Hollywood host Billy Bush was in the news. Someone hit him in the head with a golf ball.
Okay.
People are speaking to President Donald Trump about the accusation. Could have been him. He golfs a lot. If someone's going to get hit with a golf ball, who would you look to? The golfer in chief, I would think. He tweeted some pictures of himself being treated at Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in L.A. And here's what he wrote. Four, I think I dodged a bullet, but sadly not a golf ball. Why are you laughing?
Because Bean wishes he wrote it.
No,
I don't.
Bean tweet.
So what a tweet.
Thanks for that tweet, Billy Bush segment.
And he would have high-fived himself.
Untrue. I think it's dumb, and it's completely on brand for Billy Bush. Completely. He hasn't lost it, is what I'm saying. He's still just as good as he was when he had Access Hollywood.
And I wish we lived in New York, because there's going to be a pop-up store in Soho today that I would like to check out. It's run by Pornhub. Pornhub's having a pop-up store. How appropriate for them to have a pop-up store, right? Because Pornhub makes things pop up.
Right?
Right? Pop up?
Right.
I'm talking about popping up.
Don't need the pop-up hand signals.
Store.
Right, got it.
They will sell toys, books, handcuffs, smutty clothes. All shoppers must be 18 years of age or older to attend the pop-up store. So, That's staying open until December 20th, so you can get all your Christmas shopping needs done before they close, which I think is nice.
That's good news.
Because you want to be able to, you know, get those stocking stuffers.
Sure.
All right.
Stuff the stocking, right?
Okay. Can't even look.
Hey, I got something to give away. I've got tickets to a thing. It's a premiere of a movie called Father Figures.
Yay!
This movie looks very funny. Ed Helms, who makes me laugh just standing still.
Yeah, he's great.
Makes me laugh.
Agreed, he's great.
You got the great Owen Wilson, of course. They play brothers who have always heard from their mother, Glenn Close, that dad passed away. Well, they find out the truth, which in this case is a lie. Dad is, dad's probably alive. They're not really sure because mom's not really sure who the real father is. Seems like mom got around back in the day.
Ah.
It could be any number, any one of a number of gentlemen, including Terry Bradshaw. How great would it be if Terry Bradshaw was your real dad? Wouldn't that be great?
I feel like it would be.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyway, this movie looks very funny. It's in theaters everywhere on December 22nd. However, they're having the red carpet premiere at Father Figures at the TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood on December 13th. If you'd like to attend the premiere of Father Figures, give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers through at that line will get a pair of passes to attend the premiere of Father Figures at the TCL Theater in Hollywood. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, which I'm sure is on a piece of paper somewhere here in my thing list pile. Hey, thanks, Chip. Judd Nelson's 58 years old today. TV host Jon Stewart turns 55. Neon Tree singer Tyler Glenn turns 34. Mary Elizabeth Winstead celebrates her 33rd birthday. And Karen Gillan, speaking of superhero movies, she, of course, is Nebula in the Guardians of the Galaxy films. But before that, she was the companion of Doctor Who in the old TARDIS. Soon can be seen in Jumanji. She's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take Ralph on your drive home today. Listen to it tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Wednesdays means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. You said something really stupid to a celebrity. We're going to take your calls tomorrow.
Ralph, did you hear Kevin's interaction with a big star last night?
I did. Well, a big star. Easy. Easy. It was Johnny Jackson. It was Stevie Jackson. Billy Jackson.
Jackie.
Freddie Jackson.
I think it was Jackie.
It was Jackie Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear that story.
But he did still say the wrong thing, right?
Wrong? I think everything involved in that was true and factual. It wasn't sparkling conversation.
Maybe not the time to bring it up.
Could have been worse. Could have been, did your dad really hit you with a belt? That would have been worse, I think.
That's true.
All right. Yeah. It's a bright side.
And also, we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well tomorrow.